Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for coming and for learning Hashem's Torah. May our learning be a merit. Le'ili nishmas, me'ira chai, nechama bracha le'a shalom. Vas David Mordechai. Today's daf is daf mem tes, page 49. We were up to the Mishnah here on mem ches amid beis. So this Mishnah is going to talk about all sorts of scenarios of suffix. And we are in a state of doubt and what the resulting obligation is. Says the Mishnah, Shtei Nashim Shelo Bikru. Let's say a man marries two women. Neither of them have ever had a firstborn yet. So for both, the child that will be born will be their firstborn. And then they both become pregnant. V'yoldu Shnei Zecharim. They give birth to two boys, but it was in the middle of a war. In a machbo, they gave birth in a cave. The boys got mixed up. We don't know which boy is who. We don't know if this boy is the child of woman A or the boy is the child of woman B. It's all mixed up. But we know that both of these boys are firstborns. And we know that both of these boys didn't come through C-sections. And we know that both of these boys have the same father. So this father, no Sin Esther Slime Lakoin. This father's to give 10 shekel to the Kohen. If one of these two boys dies within 30 days of the birth, and the father decided to prepay, he had given the 10 shekel to the Kohen before 30 days, and one of them now dies. So, im l'koin echad nasan, if he gave to one coin the 10 shekel, yavzu lo chamesh lein. So, what, that coin should give back 5 of the shekel. Because, if, as we're going to see, if somebody pays Pidyon HaBen before 30 days and the child dies, the coin has to give it back. However, if he gave 5 shekel to one coin and 5 shekel to another coin, he can't get those shekels back because each coin is going to be able to say, oh no, the Bechor that you gave the 5 shekel for to me is the one who's still alive. The Bechor that died is the one that the 5 shekel were given to the other Kohen. So let him give you the 5 shekel. Go to the other Kohen and say, no, my Bechor is still alive. It's the other Bechor that's dead. So therefore, you can't be able to get the money back from them. All right, that's one scenario of Suffolk. Next scenario of Suffolk. Again, a man marries two women. Neither of them have ever had a firstborn. It's a war. They're in a cave. Everything's happening in the dark. We don't know what's what. And these two women give birth to Zachar and Akeva, a male and a female. So now one woman basically doesn't have a Bechor. I'm sorry, you know, one child doesn't have a law of Pidyon HaBen because he's the female. The other child has a law of Pidyon HaBen. Oh, Shnei Zachar and Akeva. Or what came out was a total of 3 babies, 2 males and a female. So then there's one situation here of Pidyon HaBen. And the other situation of Suffolk, maybe Pidyon HaBen, because maybe the boy was first, or maybe no Pidyon HaBen, because maybe the girl was first. So now, no Sin Chamesh Lam L'Koin. So now the father has to give 5 shekel to the Kohen, because there's certainly one Pidyon HaBen obligation. The other one, maybe there is no Pidyon HaBen obligation, so he doesn't have to give, because Amotzeh Mechaver El Varaya. The Kohen wants him to pay. The Kohen has to prove that he's entitled to it. All right, now a third scenario. Again, a man is married to 2 women. Neither of them have had a child before. It's in a war. They're in a cave. And Yaldu Shtei Nekevos V'Zachar. So, you know, it's in the dark. We don't know exactly what happened. We don't know who's whose baby. And what ended up coming is as we all come out of the cave, we see that now there's 2 girls and a boy. Oh, Shtei Zachar V'Shtei Nekevos. What comes out is 4 children. 2 boys and 2 girls. So now really there's no certainty of Pidyon HaBen at all. Because it could be that each woman gave birth to a girl and then a boy. Or it could be that each woman gave birth to a girl first, and one woman gave birth after the girl to a boy. So ain't come the coin klum, and the coin's not entitled to anything, because he can't prove that there's an obligation of Pidyon HaBen. He can't take money unless he can prove that he's entitled to it. Okay, now another scenario. A man has 2 wives. Achas Bikra, one wife has given birth already to a firstborn. The other wife has never given birth to a firstborn yet. Okay, so the wife, from wife A, if a boy is born, he's not going to be a Bechor because she's already had children. From wife B, if there's a baby boy born, it would be a Bechor. And again, V'yoldu shnei scharim. They went into a cave, there was a war, two babies come out, two boys, all right, so Memanav Shach, one of them is the Bechor. Everything got mixed up, one of them is the Bechor. So no sein chamish lam l'kohen. The father has to give 5 shekel to the Kohen. Now, again, it's the situation of one wife already had children, and the other wife has never had a child before. The other wife is a good candidate for Peter Rechem, for an opening of a womb. Both wives are pregnant. Meis echad mehem, and, you know, they had two boys from these two wives. Now, meis echad, and one of these boys dies, b'sloch shloch shem yom, within 30 days. So now, the father doesn't have to pay, because he can say, maybe the child that died was the Bechor child, and the child that's still alive is the child of the woman who already had children, who's not a Bechor, and therefore there's no obligation. So, one of them died within 30 days. Ha'av Pater, the father now is exempt from Pidyon Haben. Meisa'av Abanim Kayamim, if the father died and the children are still alive. If the father died and the children are still alive. So now, Rabbi Meir, Omer Meir says, if the father died and the children are still alive. So now, Rabbi Meir says like this, Im Nasnu, if the two children have given the 5 shekel, Ad Shelo Chalku, from the father's estate before they had divided up the father's property. Nasnu. Okay, so that's fine. Now we're not going to take it back. They did the right thing. Vimla, but if they haven't given the money yet, and the father's died, and they've already divided up the property of their father, Ptur, and they're exempt. Why? Because when the Kohen comes to one, he says, okay, give me 5 shekel. He says, I'm not the Bechor. I'm the child of the woman who already had children. He goes to the other. That one says, no, I'm the one who's the child of the woman who already had children. I'm not the Bechor. So you prove I'm the Bechor. Since the person, the Kohen, can't prove that either child is the Bechor, he's not going to get it all. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Rabbi Yehuda says, since when the father would have been alive, there would have been an obligation of paying Pidyon HaBen, because when Manav Shach, one of them is a Bechor, so the property becomes obligated. So now that the father died, that's it. The property is still obligated, and therefore they have to give the 5 shekel, even if they've divided the property after the death of the father. The property has already become obligated.
So it'd be like 2.5, 2.5
type
thing?
Yeah, that's what Rabbi Yehuda seems to say. We'll see in the Gemara the arguments, but what's the explanation of Rabbi Yehuda? But yeah, that's what he seems to say, exactly. Now, let's say you have this situation. A man is married to two women. One is not a candidate for Pidyon HaBen because she already had children. The other one has never had children. And they go into a cave, and what comes out of the cave is two babies, Zachar and a Keva, a male and a female. We don't know who's whose. And the Kohen clumps. Now again, the Kohen has nothing because the Kohen can't prove that there is necessarily an obligation of Pidyon HaBen. Maybe the one who's never had children before gave birth to the girl. Therefore, the Kohen is not entitled to anything. Okay. What's that? No, because we don't know. Because the Zachar maybe is from the woman Shabichar. Maybe that's from the woman who already had kids. All right, next scenario. Shtei Nashim, Shel Shnei Anashim. Now let's talk about two wives of two different husbands. Shelo Biku. So if both women have never had children before, and now they go into a cave, and they give birth to two boys, and the boys are mixed up. We don't know which boy belongs to which mother, which boy belongs to which father. So now, each one, though, each husband, his wife had never had children before, and his wife had a bechor. So Zenos and Chamesh Lem Lekoin, this one has to give 5 shekel to the coin. Zenos and Chamesh Lem Lekoin, this one has to give 5 shekel to a different coin, or to another, or to the same coin, but he has to give 5 shekel. Now let's say of these two children, one of the kids dies within 30 days. If the fathers have already given their 5 shekels to the Kohen, Im lekoin echad nasnu, if each of them gave to the same kohen. So now yasu lehen chamesh lime. This kohen has to give back five of those shekel because the child turns out to have died within 30 days. It's not entitled to any pidyon. But im lishnei kohanim nasnu, if they gave to two kohanim, ain lichom lotzi miyadam. Then the parents can't get it out because each kohen is going to say it's not my kid who died; it's your, the other one's kid who died. So it's not going to be able to get it back. Now, if these two women of the two different husbands give birth to Zachar Unakeva, one gave birth to a male, one gave birth to a female, we don't know who gave birth to what, then Avos Pturim, each father is exempt because he can say, oh, my wife was the one who gave birth to the girl. So you prove that my wife was the one who gave birth to the boy. You can't. So he doesn't have to pay. However, Ben Chayv lived as a Satsma. But this boy, when he grows up and he's past 30 days, he's going to have to redeem himself because he is a Bechor. He doesn't know who his father is. He doesn't know who his mother is, but he is a Bechor. So he'll have to redeem himself. Now, if these two women of the two husbands give birth to Shteina Kevas V'Zachar, to two girls and a boy, so now maybe there's no pidyon aben at all. Oh, Shteina Kevas V'Shtein Zachar. They gave birth to two girls and two boys, so certainly there may be no pidyon aben. So then even when this boy grows up, he doesn't have to give anything because he can say, maybe I'm not. You can't prove that I'm obligated. Ain't count the coin clump. The coin wouldn't be obligated in anything. The coin wouldn't be able to get anything. Achas bikra. Let's say a man, two men are married to two women. So one man is married to a woman who's had children before. The achas shelo bikra. The other man is married to a woman who's never had children. Shtel shnei anashim. Right? And this is to two different husbands. V'yaldu shnei zchar. And they give birth to two boys. So therefore, the husband, Zeh Shelo Bikri Ishto, whose wife has never had children before, Nosen Chamesh Lam L'Kohen, has to give five shekels to the Kohen. But if these between these two women, what you have is Zachar Unikeva, a male and a female, Inkan L'Kohen Klum, the Kohen's not entitled to anything. Okay, so basically the common rule that the Mishnah keeps coming back to is Hamotzeh Mechaver, Olav Araya. Even in regards to Pidyon HaBen, where you might have said, well, it's Isser, it's prohibition, it's not money. Safik Isser L'Chumra. We don't say that. We say no. In terms of getting the money, the Kohen would have to prove that he's entitled to it to be able to get the money. So I saw that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein was asked a question when lots of Jews came from Russia to Israel in the early 90s. They didn't know if they were firstborns, not firstborns. They didn't know if they were Kohanim or not. I mean, say they knew if they were firstborn, but they didn't know if they were Kohanim or not. So were they obligated in Pidyon HaBen? So, you know, you'd say, Amotz Mechavar Olav Araya, let the Kohen prove that this guy's a non-Kohen to be able to make the guy have to pay Pidyon HaBen or prove that his mother wasn't a Leviya. But on the other hand, he said, listen, you know, such an overwhelming majority that people are not Kohanim, and I think they did obligate them to pay Pidyon HaBen. Of Rove. It was a suffix, but there was such a rove, it was such a big majority that they were obligated that they did have to pay.
What is the ratio approximately on Cohen to Israel?
Oh, I don't know. But certainly Israelites are the majority.
This is the issue we had with the Og groups, right? And the Shatnas.
Exactly, ratio, that's
okay,
right.
We're talking about overwhelming.
10%? There the issue was 10%, it was less than 10%. Here, I don't know what the exact ratios are. Okay, says the Gemara. Let's go a little bit further, then we'll get to the questions. The Mishnah said that when you have two fathers who each have firstborns and they all get mixed up, if they gave the five shekels to the same kohen, and one of the boys dies, they can get back five of the shekels. But if they gave the five shekel to two kohanim, then they don't get the five shekel back because each kohen can say, no, the five shekel you gave to me was for the boy that's still alive. So one second, says the Gemara, I don't understand this. Ma'ishna l'shnei kohanim, why if they gave to two kohanim, you don't get any money back? Da'azal gabei hai, when you go to one kohen, ma'adkilei says, no, my boy that you gave for me is still alive. Da'azal gabei hai, they go to the other one, ma'adkilei says, no, my boy is the one that's still alive. So Kohen Echad Nami, even if they gave to the same Kohen, Leza Lagabe Hai, let the father go to this one. V'lit Chai, and this one can reject him. V'leza Lagabe Hai, let him go to the other one. V'lit Chai, and he could reject him too. Right? In other words, the father goes to the Kohen, The Kohen will say, no, I'm not giving back to you, because your son is still alive. Another father comes, he says, your son is the one who's still alive. So we keep rejecting them. Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel answered, the case is when the two fathers have become partners. They've given to each other the right of attorney. The Babar Shah. Harsha means, let's say, Yaakov owes me money, and Yaakov's a tough guy. If I go to Yaakov and say, give me back my money, he's going to give me a runaround. So I say to Shmuel, listen, Shmuel, you represent me. Here, you have the right to go to Yaakov. If Yaakov says, I don't want to talk to you, I don't owe you any money, you know, I haven't had anything to do with you, he produces a document. He says, no, Zev made me his man. So that's what's happening. The two fathers come, Barsha, in other words, one father shows up with a document from the other father. So he says, listen, you give me back my 5 shekel, because my son died. So the Kohen says to him, no, your son didn't die. Maybe it was the other man's son who died. He says, okay, so give me back the other man's 5 shekel, because I am the attorney of that other man. I have his koach. I have a harsha from him. I have a document from him saying that I'm the one who's entitled to collect the money on his behalf. So Gemara says, one second. V'ami Nahardah, but didn't we say in Nahardah, the court of Nahardah said, lo katvina adrachta amatatli. We don't write harsha documents on movables. You only write it on land. So Gemara says, hani mili yecha de kafre. That's true when one guy is claiming that someone else owes him metaltlim, and the man who's being claimed is denying it. But when we don't have a person denying a claim, katvina, we could write a harsha, and that's what's going on here. We wrote a harsha.
So, in Torah law, if we couldn't do a collateral in an automobile.
Couldn't do a collateral? No, you could. If it's aputiki, you can do it even on an automobile.
If it's, I'm sorry.
There's something called aputiki, where a person dedicates that, you know, movable to pay back the debt.
Okay, so in what case? That's because we make a special arrangement?
Yeah, if you made a special arrangement.
Otherwise, it's
correct.
Generally not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a shtar. Yes, it's a document.
How could the Kohen say, no, sir, your son didn't die, stop praying? I mean, the guy's clearly, maybe he's not mourning
because
he's a
Nafel. Well, you don't know. You don't know. How can you prove?
I lost my child.
How do you know? Maybe it was the other person's child that died.
I'm pretty sure about that stuff.
Then the Mishnah said these two women who had never had children before, they married two men and they give birth to Zachor and Nekeva, a male and a female. And we don't know who is the mother of what? So we said, ha'avos pturin. The fathers are exempt, because each one says, maybe my child is the girl, but the boy, when he grows up, he'll be obligated. But if what they had given birth to was two girls and a boy, or two girls and two boys, so then the Kohen is not entitled to anything. Tana Rav Huna, Rav Huna taught, if these two women gave birth to Shnei Zachar Munakeva, to two boys and a girl, Ein Kan, the Kohen, Klub. So the Kohen also is not entitled to anything. And this is not mentioned in our Mishnah, the Tana Didan, our Tana, didn't mention it. Why? Because Kevin Div Shnei Anashim Hu Demishkachasla, that this case is only going to be true if these two women are married to two husbands, right? So then, even though it came out with two boys and a girl, each husband can say, maybe my wife was the one who had a girl, maybe my wife was the one who had the girl first, so therefore they're not going to be obligated. But ish echad u'shtei nashim, but if you had such a case of two women, neither of them who've had a bechor yet, and they're married to one husband, and they give birth between them to two boys and a girl, then lo mishkachasla. Then you wouldn't be able to say that there's an exemption, because this man, the man of Shach, has to pay, because either he really is obligated in two pidgin abens, because maybe the boys are born first, or maybe he's obligated in one pidgin aben. Certainly has to pay one pidgin aben. Therefore, lo masi, and the mission didn't mention this case and this scenario. Okay, so now our mission is going to talk about, now no longer about a safek, but about the law that we mentioned, that a boy is obligated to be redeemed once he passes 30 days. All right, let's say a man has a wife, the wife has never had children before, and they have a baby boy. Mazel tov, a bechor. A peter rechem, something opened up the womb. But now, unfortunately, Mesa ben besoch shloshim yom, this baby boy dies within 30 days. Then afal pi shenasan lakohen, even though the parent has prepaid and given to the kohen, yachzi, the kohen has to return it. What happens if the parent prepays and the baby dies? I'm sorry, maybe the parent didn't prepay, but let's say the baby dies la'achar shloshim yom, the baby died on day 35. Afal pi shelo nasan, even though the parent hasn't yet paid, yitin, he still has to pay. Because apparently once day 30 arrives, the parent is obligated, and the parent's property now has a lien on it for this obligation. What happens if meis biyom shloshim, the baby dies on day 30 itself? He didn't die within 30 days, he didn't die after 30 days, he died on day 30. So now we have an argument. According to the Chachamim, ki yom shelofana, that's as if he died before day 30, and therefore, if the parent prepaid, the money gets given back. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's a suffix. Therefore, im nasan, if the parent has already paid, lo yito, it's a suffix. Maybe really it was already, it's already obligated. Maybe it's 30 days already, like past 30 days. So he doesn't get the money back. Im lo nasan. But if he hasn't paid yet, lo yitain, he shouldn't, if he hasn't paid, since it's a suffix, maybe he's not obligated, therefore he doesn't have to give it. Okay.
When was the last time they prepaid the Kohen
Gadol? We're going to see. Good, the Gemara is going to discuss that. That's a good point.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bidvaro.
Amen. Amen. And how would they even know they were having a son?
And again, you know, they have to come perform, okay. You know, another brachas, this, and then get
paid. Not so much. Says the Gemara, my time, my Rabbanu. What's the reason of the Chachamim who say that if a baby dies on day 30, then we say the baby hasn't reached the obligation? It's like a baby dying before day 30. So the Chachamim, they have a Gzeira Shava. Kamri, Chodesh, Chodesh, Mimidbar. It says about Pidyon HaBen of a Bechor, the word Chodesh, Uptu Yavi Ben Chodesh, you know, Ben Chodesh. And it says in this week's Parash, on Parash Bamidbar, that Hashem had the Jews count all the Bechoros and have them replace Leviim. And there also it says the word Chodesh. So Ma Hasam, therefore, just like in our Parash, on Parash Bamidbar, it's Ben Chodesh Vamala. Chodesh and above. In other words, it has to be past 30 days. So too over here, for Bidyon HaBen, it has to be past the 30th day, but the 30th day itself is like less than 30 days. However, Rabbi Akiva doesn't have this Gzeira Shava. And Rabbi Akiva has a different problem. We have a rule generally, if you have two psukim both to tell us the same lesson, then we don't learn it. Because we say that if Hashem wanted to teach us this lesson, he would have said it once. But the fact that Hashem said it in two places, that's to say that you can't learn from that one place. These are the only exceptions. Nowhere else has that law. So Rabbi Akiva is not sure about this rule of Shnei Ksuvim Baim Ke'acha. Rabbi Akiva doesn't have the Gzeira Shav of Chodesh Chodesh. Rabbi Akiva, though, says it's a situation here of a suffix, whether day 30 is like before or after, because he has a suffix about the category of Shnei, about the rules of Shnei Ksuvim Baim Ke'acha. What do you mean, Shnei Ksuvim Baim Ke'acha? There are two psukim where it's, the Torah says about something, it has to be vamala, past the date. Miritzach lemechta vamala gabe arachin. The next mesechta, mesechet erachin, last week's parsha, the Torah says, that if you say, I'm going to give the erach, the value of a person who's 5 years old or more to the Beis HaMikdash, it's one value. Someone who's 20 years old and more, it's a different value. 60 years old and more, it's another value. So there it keeps saying vamala and above. It has to be over that date. Therefore, it says by Erechin over that date. Now, why did the Torah have to say by Erechin? Why don't we learn from the counting of the Bechoros in the desert, this week's parsha, which says, Ben Chodesh Vamala. So apparently, Havalu Shneiksu Vaban Kecha. There are two times when the Torah says a date, and saying Vamala, and older, but not younger, not that date and beneath it. So that's saying, so we can't learn from there, because we have two psukim teaching the same thing. When you have two psukim to say the same thing, when the Torah gives a date, let's say Shishim or Esrim or Ben Chodesh, It means b'mala, not the 20th day, not the 30th day, not the 20th year. So then in malam, so then you can't learn from it. So therefore here, in regards to Pidyon HaBen, we couldn't learn. And we say day 30 is actually like, day 30 is considered like above day 30. Because only in those cases was it v'mala, has to be past the day itself, but the day itself is not like past it. Domer maybe, no. When do we have the rule of let's la alma for other matters. But here, two of the matters that the psukim were about, one was the vows to Hekdesh, Erechin, and the other was something about Bechor. Not Pidyon HaBen, but it was something about Bechor. So since about the Bechor, legufayu malamdin, for their own matter they could teach. So therefore, the laws of Pidyon HaBen should be derived from this week's parasha, where the Bechoros were counted in Ben Chodesh v'mala. And say, just like over there, Miben Chodesh v'mala, it had to be over the 30th day. So to Bechor has to be over the 30th day. And the 30th day is not like above it. It's like less than it. Therefore, based on this question, whether we invoke here the principle of Shnei Ksuvim v'Kachat and Melamdin, Nesaf Kina Lei, it is a situation of Safek. Okay. So now the Gemara says, let's talk about another area of Halacha, Avelus. Let's say you have a baby, and on day 30 he passes away. Do the parents have to sit Shiva? Ravashi said, Hakol Modim, everybody agrees? Lenin Avelus, in regards to Avelus and sitting Shiva, Yom Shloshim Ki Yom Shalafanav, the day 30 is like before day 30. And therefore, if a baby dies on day 30, it's as if he died on day 20, it's as if he died on day 7 or died on day 3. There is no Shiva. We saw here that Rabbi Akiva had a suffix about day 30. He said day 30 maybe is like before day 30, but maybe day 30 is like past day 30. So why do you say there's certainly no Shiva? The answer is Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel has taught us halacha kedev yamekel ba'avel. In regards to the laws of mourning, we always pass like the most lenient view. So here we had the Chachamim who said they were sure that if a child dies on day 30, it's like before day 30. So that's the lenient view that would say no mourning. Therefore we pass in that way.
So no Shiva.
No Shiva.
Right?
Very good. Advalo advacha. Very nice. All right, the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, May Sa'av Bisoch Shloshim. Let's say the father dies within 30 days of the birth of his Bechor. And the baby grows up. He's now 10, 12. So we tell him, listen, you probably have to give Pidyon HaBen. I says, but I had a father. Maybe my father prepaid. So you have Baruch's point. No Jew's going to prepay. Becheska shelo nifte. We assume he was not redeemed. Ad sheyav yirai, unless he can bring a proof, shenifte, that his father was an unusual one who prepaid before he reached the obligation of being 30 days old. Let's say the father dies. L'achar shloshim yom. After the boy is 30 days old, becheska shenifte, then we assume that the boy was redeemed. Ad sheyomer lo, unless people tell this child that the father said as he was dying, shelo nifte, he had never redeemed the boy. All right, a third law. Let's say a man knows that he himself was not redeemed, and he has now a firstborn son. He has to redeem his son. So who liftos, who no liftos? He has a choice. Should he be redeeming himself or redeeming his son? According to the Tanakhama, who called him liftos? If he only has 5 shekel, he has to redeem himself. He comes before his son. If Yudam Rebutus says no, but no kodmo, he should redeem his son. Rebutus uses interesting language. We'll see he doesn't really mean it, but he says, Shemitzvaso alav. His obligation was really on his father. So, whereas his son, Mitzvah's b'no alav, the obligation of his son is on him. So he should redeem the son, because that's his obligation. Even, and he himself doesn't get redeemed, because that was his father's obligation. His father didn't do the right thing.
Who do we go like?
We go like the Chacham. Says the Gemara to explain it. The Mishnah doesn't really mean exactly what it said here with the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. Itmar, we were taught, Hapodes b'no b'sok shloshim yom. If somebody redeems his son within 30 days of the son's birth, Rav Amar b'no padri, Rav says the boy is redeemed. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Ein b'no padri, the boy is not redeemed. Now in regards to marriage, if a man gives a ring to a woman and says to her, you're mekudesh to me with this ring, but it's only going to take effect 30 days from now. So then she gets married 30 days later, even if the ring is gone. So now we're going to see if we can take a similar law to Pidyon HaBen. Okay, so the Gemara explains this argument between Rav and Shmuel. Again, somebody redeemed his child within 30 days. Rav says the boy is redeemed. Shmuel says the boy is not redeemed. So The Gemara says, the Kuliyam, everybody agrees, if he said, May Achshav, I'm giving it to you on day 15 of the boy's life, and I want him redeemed now. So then ain't been no padu. Certainly that doesn't work, because the Torah says, Ukliyav ben chodesh tivteh, redeem on day 30. Before day 30, there's no obligation, so it's just a gift. The Achashlo Shimyo, but if he says, I'm going to give it to you now on day 15, and the redemption will take effect after the 30th day, and if after the 30th day is nulamos, the money is still around, Vaday ben no padu, certainly that did work. The question between Rav and Shmuel is if he said within 30 days I'm giving you money that the redemption should take effect after the 30th day, and after the 30th day the money is already gone. Rav Amar Beno Padui, Rav says the boy is still redeemed. The same way it works with marriage. Hasam, just like in marriage, even if the money is gone, a person could give money to a woman and say, you're going to be married to me with this money 30 days from now. And even though 30 days from now the money is gone, she is married. Kiddushi, it's marriage. Now turning to Man Testament Beis, Hachanami here too in regards to Pidyon HaBen. Lo Shna, there's no difference. Shmuel Amar Lacha, Shmuel will tell you, there's a big difference. Hasam, in regards to marriage, if he gives the money for marriage now and says it should take effect 30 days from now, the yadul lakacha me'achshav, were he to want to, the marriage could take effect right away, right? He could have married her right now. He has that power. He's choosing to say that the marriage should happen 30 days from now. Okay, so since it could happen now, the process starts, it'll take effect 30 days from now. Hacha, but over here, when he gives to the Kohen the money when the boy is 15 days old, he can't redeem him from now, because now the boy is not old enough. If you'd say, this is Pidyon HaBen for now, it doesn't work. It's just a gift because the boy is not ben chodesh ramala. He's not 30 days old. So therefore, when the time comes, the money's not around, it doesn't work. V'afogav, now, says the Gemara, even though we say the kaimlan we pass can generally, the chalecha, the plika, Ravu Shmuel, whenever we have arguments between Rav and Shmuel, which is throughout Shas, hilchasa kirav b'isuri, in regards to matters of prohibition, halachas like Rav. Shmuel bedini, in regards to money issues, halachas like Shmuel, even though this is Pidyon HaBen, which is seemingly an isser, hilchasa kavase de Shmuel, halachas like Shmuel. And therefore, if a person were to give Pidyon HaBen to the Kohen when the boy is not yet 30 days old, and says, this is going to make my son redeemed once he's 30 days old, and once the boy is 30 days old, the money is gone, the boy is not redeemed.
No, what's in his business if the coin loses the money? Like we're saying,
it is his business, because that's when the obligation happens. At that point, the money's gone.
Right. So it's like he never gave it as the point?
He never redeemed it at the right time.
Make him a shoulder.
That's not what he did.
The money to Cohen, like the Cohen has spent the money? Is that what
the Cohen may have spent it already. So now the Gemara is going to try to prove who's right between Rav and Shmuel. So now we're looking at our Mishnah. Meis Pesuch Shloshim Yom. If the baby dies within his first 30 days of life, even though the father's already paid the Kohen, the Kohen has to give back the 5 shekel because the boy never reached 30 days of age. Taima, what did the Mishnah say? When does the father have to give the Kohen have to give it back? To Mace, because the boy died. Hello, Mace. It sounds like if the boy would not have died, but no padu, the son is redeemed even though the father prepaid. So that seems to be against Shmuel. It's like Rav. Gemara says, no, achab mayaskin, maybe the case of the Mishnah is this nulamos, when the money's still around. When the money's still around, even Shmuel agrees that when the father prepays, it works. Tashma, let's bring another proof who's right between Rav and Shmuel. Our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, b'cheska shalon ivde, if the father died when the boy is not yet 30 days old, we assume that the boy was not redeemed. Achshavi raya shenivde, unless the boy brings a proof that he was redeemed before he was 30 days old. So you see that before he was 30 days old, he could be redeemed. No, Hasam Nami, there also it means the proof is this Nulamos Beinai, that the money was around when he was 30 days old. Hani Tana Kamed Rav Yehuda. There was a Tana who taught a Braisa in front of Rav Yehuda. Hapodes Beno Besoch Shloshim Yom. If someone redeems his son within 30 days, Beno Padoi, the boy is redeemed. Amarleis, Rabbi Yehuda said to him, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Ein b'no padui. Shmuel says the boy is not redeemed. If the money's not around, after the 30 days, the boy is not redeemed if it was prepaid. Atamarta b'no padui, you're saying that the boy is redeemed? Afagav the kaimlan ki Rav b'suri. Even though normally we pass him like Rav, in regards to matters of prohibition. Ukishmuel bedini, we only pass him like Shmuel in regards to money. And here you'll tell me it's a matter of prohibition, but it's wrong. Ach, over here, as we said before, Hilchas HaKavase de Shmuel, Halachas like Shmuel, and therefore if the father prepaid, and the money is, even if the money is, if the money is no longer around, if the father prepaid, the redemption does not work.
He has a claim on a, he has a claim at home, presumably, clarifies to give him back the money back. Because he gave it to him for redemption purposes.
Yeah, maybe. That could be. That's a good point. Okay, so the end of the Mishnah said, what do you do when you have a father who has to redeem himself and he has to redeem his son? Because his father never redeemed him. So here we had an argument. Who lived those who've no lived those? According to the Chacham, who called him lived no? He should redeem himself. And Rav Yehuda said, no, he should redeem his son. So now the Gemara is going to change a little bit of what that really means. Son Rabbanu went to Nebraisa. Who lived those, if he has to redeem himself, with no lived those, and he has to redeem his son? Who called him lived no? He should redeem himself. He has his own mitzvah, comes before the mitzvah of his son. Rav Yehuda, when he reads, says, no. But no, called no. First he redeems his son, Shemitzvah so alaviv. Because his mitzvah was on his father. The mitzvah is b'no alav. His son is his obligation. Amr Rabbi Yirmiyah said like this. Hakol modim, everybody really agrees. If the father only has 5 shekel, who could him live? No, he has to use it for himself. My time or why? The mitzvah di deyadiv. A person's own mitzvah takes precedence over a mitzvah for somebody else. Ki pligi, where is there an argument? The father has 5 shekel that are free. And he has land of 5 shekel that he's already sold off. Somebody has bought from him. And now the following. Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Milva ksuva b'torah ksuva b'shtar damya. If the Torah says an obligation, it's as if it was written in a contract. So therefore, when a boy is born as a firstborn, the Torah says there's an obligation of pidgin aben. It's as if there's a contract saying that there's an obligation of pidgin aben. So from the point of birth, there is a shibud, there's a lien on all the property. So therefore, v'didei, that's why he should pay for the son, the 5 shekel. And in terms of his 5 shekel, azul v'tar from yishabdi, the coin can go and take it from the land that he sold off. Because he can say the land that you sold off had a lien on it from the days of the father, that it was obligated for pidyon haben, so I can go take that. Uvahani chamish b'nei chorin, so the 5 shekel that are unencumbered, parak le lebre, he redeems his son. However, Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold, Milvak Suva B'Torah, Lav Kesuva B'Shtar Damya. If the Torah says an obligation, it's not the same thing as something being written in a contract. So there is no Shibud Nechasim. So to collect the debt of Pidgin Aben, they can only get it from unencumbered property, not from land that was sold off. So therefore, if for his Pidgin Aben, you can't go take it from the people who bought. You have to take it from him, from his money. So therefore, he only has 5 shekel that's unencumbered. He should first use it for himself before he uses it for his son. His own mitzvah takes precedence.